Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network on tour for our third and final day of coverage at Charleston Wine and Food Festival. It is HRN's fifth year in a row. I'm Hannah Forden, and we're really excited to kick off our first interview of the day. Before we start, we want to thank Ben's Friends for making our coverage today possible. This whole afternoon, we're going to be focusing our conversations on building sustainable lifestyle and finding balance in the hospitality industry. And of course, big, huge thanks to Charleston Wine and Food for having us down here for the fifth year. It is just the best time ever. I'm joined by co-host Kat Johnson.
Hello, Hannah.
And the wonderful Sherry Bayer, host of All in the Industry.
Hi, excited to be here.
Yes, and our very special guest is Steve Palmer.
Hello.
One of the founders of Ben's Friends and also of the all wonderful restaurant group Indigo Road here in Charleston.
Thank you.
And Atlanta.
And Atlanta.
And Nashville.
And Nashville.
Yeah.
And Charlotte and
Raleigh. World domination.
Yeah, well.
What's next? What's next?
You know, boutique hotels.
Ooh.
That's what's next. We're doing a project in Asheville. Taking a 100-year-old building, it's actually a flat iron building, just like the one in New York was built in the 1920s. So we're going to be restoring that to a 70-room hotel called the Flatiron. That seems the most obvious, and doing an Italian restaurant, rooftop bar, and a speakeasy in the basement.
So it seems like Asheville is where it's at.
Asheville is pretty cool. It's right in the foothills of the Blue Ridge. The summertime is pretty special when it's a million degrees here in Charleston. We like to go up to Asheville. We do actually a leadership retreat every summer called Summer Camp. And we go to Asheville, we whitewater raft, we zip line, we have campfires and tell stories. It's pretty fun.
Can HRN come?
Yes.
It will tag along.
That would be brilliant.
Let's do it.
You could broadcast live from Indigo Road Summer Camp.
It's yes. A deal.
We're in.
We're pretty much down for anything summer camp related.
Yeah, I love that, right?
We'll bring the Shaxbury crew that has a cider camp.
Perfect.
And it really becomes a tennis camp, is what it really is. It's an excuse for them to get together and play tennis.
I think it's an excuse for us to get together and drink. So I'm not sure it's as productive as tennis, but it's summer camp nonetheless.
Yeah, team bonding, one way or the other.
There's a lot of late night karaoke. And I, at my office, our accounting team gave me the portable karaoke mic that you can run your iPod through because I am so invested in late night karaoke at summer camp.
Okay, I have a really important question for you.
Okay.
Steve, which is, what is your go-to karaoke song?
Living on a Prayer, John Bon Jovi. I'm a kid of the 80s. I mean, you know, that Don't Stop Believing, Journey, you know, those kind of rock anthems when we were in school, high school.
Classic.
Yeah, totally.
I'm with you, and just so you know, I went to sleepaway camp in Hendersonville, which is outside of Asheville.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm ready to come back.
Okay, I think it's a date. I'll get you. It's like third week of July. I mean, we print T-shirts. We usually do a dinner at Katie Button's place. Then we do a dinner at John Fleer, Rhubarb, we do. So it's a fun couple of days.
That sounds awesome.
Yep. Indigo Road Summer Camp coming soon to a Heritage Radio Network near you.
Yes. So we had Mickey Baxt on yesterday, your co-founder of Ben's Friends. You know, we've been lucky to have you on. This is the fourth year now in a row.
I've been lucky.
Yeah, thank you. Mickey has never been on before.
Right.
What a joy. To sit down with him.
A true delight.
He is an icon and a legend. Everybody knows Mickey. You cannot take Mickey to any major city with any major restaurateur, and they're like, of course, there's Mickey. Everybody, he's like the godfather of hospitality.
So he was telling us a little bit, you know, we've heard the Ben's Friend sort of origin story, how you and Mickey started the organization. But what was interesting that he was talking about, yesterday was sort of, okay, so it's been 3 years, and you're now, like you said earlier, you have more people who want to start chapters in cities across the country than you have, like, the capacity to necessarily, like, do them all at once. So you have sort of a methodical way that you are setting up new chapters. Can you talk a bit about that, what that looks like when, for example, Savannah's launching today?
Savannah is launching. Mickey's there today. Hi, Mickey. So, you know, listen, we are 3 years old, which I feel like still makes us in our infant stages. We're dealing in addiction, so we're dealing in mental health and trying to get people healthy who are unhealthy. So it is an imperfect science, to be sure. You know, and what we know is that the sense of community that people that attend Ben's Friends meetings, I just left the Ben's Friends meeting this morning, feels safe and feels there's commonality. They know this is their tribe. So at our best, when we're launching these meetings in the new cities, it feels that way when you walk in. So our vetting process is we bring people to Charleston. Usually what happens is an article will get written and we get 50 emails. And then we follow up within 24 hours, this is what we need. And of the 54, we'll respond back. It's just the nature of things. And so then we fly them to Charleston. Mickey usually puts them up in his hotel. And they attend a Ben's Friends meeting. And then either Mickey or I or both will go to the city and help launch the first meeting.
And then after that point, I mean, you kind of then hands off a bit, right? You want to make sure that whoever is starting that chapter is really going to be self-sufficient in many ways.
Yeah, we have a national PR firm that supports us. We have dollars that we spend on digital, you know, boosted Facebook posts in those geo-targeted in those areas. But we also don't think that it should be cookie cutter. So the meeting in Portland, just by the fact that it's Portland, probably feels different than the meeting in Columbus, Ohio. Yeah. So it really is a lot of trust in the chairs. And then we really, you know, we have a box that we'd like to stay in, but we're not micromanaging it. We really want it to be a reflection of the community that it's in and the community that it serves.
So Sherry, I wanted to just ask you really quick. You recently did your first host summit,
yes,
in New York, which was amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Do you really want to talk a little bit about what Host Summit was, just for some context?
Sure. So I created a new conference based on my All in the Industry show as inspiration, I would say. And HOST stands for Hospitality Operations, Services, and Technology, encompassing a lot of the elements of the hospitality industry and past guests who've been on my show who touch and work in those different elements. And I put together a full-day conference with a variety of panels. All of the speakers had been guests on my show previously. And it was exciting. It was a really fabulous day. We did it at the William Vale in Brooklyn, in Williamsburg. And we had it was a full day of programming. We did a curated lunch session at Luca where people could sit down with some of the speakers and talk about specific topics. And we had amazing food and beverage partners, and it was really exciting, and I'm hoping to do it again because the feedback has been really great. And thank you guys for supporting HOST, and we're planning to, we will be using the audio on Heritage Radio, and we also have some video content, so we're going to be sharing it more with people who weren't able to attend.
That's wonderful. It was such an impressive event, and one thing that, you know, was particularly impactful, I found, and, like, part of the reason why we wanted to include you in this conversation today is, like, you kind of came out and were like, hey, like, I'm a PR powerhouse, and I don't drink, and that's such a huge part of the culture, I think, almost, like, more so in that sort of, like, wine and dine setting that you have to exist in the PR world. So I would just, like, love to hear how that sort of impacted the way that you do business, the way that you interact with your clients, and help keep building those relationships, because you don't need to drink to connect with people.
Thank you. I don't think I called myself a powerhouse.
I'll take it.
Very sweet of you to say. Yeah, so I gave the keynote at the conference, which I've never done a keynote before, but our overall theme of the conference was being all in and what that means. And so that was the focus of my address to the audience. And I just felt, you know, looking back at my career, I have been all in everything I've done. And I stopped drinking over 17 years ago. And I was in the hospitality industry before that, and I've remained in it all these years. And I never thought about changing careers. And I talked about how I still curate wine dinners, and I go to all of these food and wine festivals that have unlimited alcohol flowing around, and I'm always walking around with my bottle of water, and most people don't notice is what I've found over the years. And you know, I am talking about it now more, and it's not, I never really talked about it that much, not because I wasn't proud of it or it wasn't something I didn't want, in a sense, I didn't want people to know, but at the same time, I just didn't make a big deal about it. I think it's important to be in the conversation now, and there's a lot of changes happening within the industry, which is great. And I also talked about how, even though I'm very comfortable being around alcohol, there's still all these awkward moments that happen where I will go to an event and they're handing out cocktails for everyone to drink and you can't even find water. Or at being at a restaurant and a chef wants to, you know, give you a treat, you know, treat you to something special. So they come over with a glass of champagne or sparkling wine. And it's awkward. And I mentioned this also in my speech that my favorite or I find it just, it's kind of, I guess, has a little humor to it, is I've worked with a lot of clients who, when I sit down for dinner and they tell them I don't drink, and their reaction is not even wine, and because they want to pour me some wine. They're being cordial, but I'm like, yeah, wine counts too. So awkward moments still exist, and I think it's important just to be talking about it.
Exactly. And Mickey brought that up yesterday that, you know, when he first got sober, he was told that he has to get out of the hospitality industry. You can't.
And in fact, he did for 6 months and was miserable, he said.
Exactly. So having like these specific support systems and like role models of like, hey, I'm doing it, I'm killing it, and I don't need to be part of that side of the culture.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I in PR, I represent mostly restaurants and bars, and I've been in working for myself since 2003, and it hasn't limited me at all. And again, I don't make a huge deal about it, but I am proud of it, and I'm not going to have wine with my dinner just to make someone happy because I'm not interested in it. And it's okay. I can still be a part of it and represent people. And I don't want anyone not to drink because of me too. Like when I'm at dinner with someone, I never want anyone not to have a cocktail or alcoholic beverage because I'm not drinking, because that's not my purpose. Like it just, you have to take care of yourself, and that's just what I'm doing.
I feel like that's the worst thing you can do to a sober person. I remember when I first got sober, people would, you know, well, is it going to bother you if I drink? I'm like, it's going to bother me if you don't drink. You know, and I've said this a lot, too. I got sober 18 years ago, and sobriety was unheard of in our business. And there, it was, the early sobriety was lonely in that way for me because I wanted to still be a part of the community. And it wasn't that anybody was being malicious. They just didn't know what to say. And it was like this weird, like, well, should we drink? Are you okay? And I'm like, can we just not draw attention to me right now? You know, yeah. All you really want to do, it's still Steve, right? I mean, and I made a choice that I think is inherently the best choice I can make for myself. I still want to be a part of the hospitality family. And I say this all the time, like, if you're going to get drunk, get drunk. If I want to leave, I'll choose to leave. But don't act, that's like, I always laugh when people are, well, should we not drink around you? Oh, my God. Like, I'm not fragile. It's okay, you know.
Yeah,
it's funny.
Exactly.
I haven't heard many people talk about that, though, the way that you just did, because that was exactly my experience. I still want to be a part of the community. And I love that now. People don't even blink anymore, and it's like, oh, here's our spirit-free drink list, and it's such a different time than it was when we first got sober.
Yeah, there are so many more clever names on menus too. There's your zero proof, or you know, right. It's. I mean,
soft cocktails. I saw that the other night.
Yeah, and they are getting. I think there's more thought being put into them.
Much more,
for sure.
Yeah.
Is this kind of a conversation part of what's happening in Ben's Friends? Of like, because I think that you make a decision for yourself. You know, you're taking care of yourself, but you can't exist in a bubble. You do have to kind of figure out how to continue your relationships with people. Is that part of what kind of the tools that you're hoping to equip people with?
Absolutely. The topic today was how do you deal with the end of the night? And so, yeah, no, we're always talking about what does life look like when it is the end of the night and not everybody, it's changing. Some people are hard charging out to the bars and you're sort of like, well, I guess I'll go home now. So yeah, we talk a lot about how to cope with, you know, life skills, how to cope now that you're living a different life. And a lot of it is about being connected to other people that are making the same choices. I mean, it really is about doing sobriety alone in any industry is such a mistake. Any mental health, you know, and I think that's part of the shame that has existed in the past about mental health, but especially in our business, because we're like the subculture within the subculture, you know, there's so much camaraderie in a restaurant that Ben's Friends talks a lot about how to create that community within the restaurant industry and still feel a part of it.
Mm-hmm. And then I also, because what we're going to do to the rest of the day today is like have a lot of different conversations that talk about just wellness and sustainability, building your own sustainable life. You know, there's been a lot of talk about it's understand now that people are building careers in hospitality. They're not just bartending while they're waiting for the next thing. So it's really important to have more holistic sort of conversations around this topic. Can you talk a little bit more about sort of Indigo Road, other things you're doing in the restaurant group to build a culture that's makes it easy for people to build a healthy life doing this work?
Sure. So we've started a group meditation on Monday mornings, and it's for the whole industry. It's not just Indigo Road. So it's here at Still Studio. So we do a mindfulness meditation every Monday morning to kind of set your intention for the week. We also, one of the programs I'm most proud of is we started a home loan buying program. So we will give our employees the down payment on their home interest-free. They just have to pay it back in 3 years. So we make zero money on it. You have to have been with us for 2 years. Like there's some parameters. But over a dozen people have bought homes now. And so I'm super proud of that. We also offer mental health counseling for free. So you can go see any therapist of your choice. And we pay for it. I don't even as a matter of confidentiality, I don't even know who's using it or not using it. It goes through HR. And we just launched a tuition match for anyone that's going to go to hotel or restaurant management or culinary school, up to $10,000 a year. So, I mean, you know, we all know we're so short-staffed in our industry. So I feel like anything we can do to retain our good people and create a life for them. I always have also said, you know, part of the reason we chose to grow, we're a big restaurant group. Sometimes those get criticized because growth can be a bad thing. But we, you know, we can provide a very sustainable living. We have lots of people making over six figures, which I'm really proud of because that was not the case when I was coming up in the restaurant industry. So, we're constantly focused on what can we do to make the employee experience better.
A question for both of you. You both travel a lot. Sherry, you're doing a lot of festivals. You have clients in different cities. Steve, you have restaurants in different cities. You've been on a book tour.
Yeah.
I feel like I do one trip and I'm just like totally burnt out. What are your tactics for running a business and also doing a lot of travel and staying healthy yourself?
And, like, conserving your energy.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of it is just planning. Like, I've already booked my Soul Cycle class in Vegas for tomorrow when I get there. So, I have to, I eat you follow me on social media. It's one big explosion of food. I'm a big dude. I have to stay healthy. And so a lot of it is just staying committed to that, because it is hard when you get out of a routine on the road. I mean, I'm going to eat. I'm not going to not go to a restaurant tomorrow night when I'm in Las Vegas, right?
And you're probably going places where people want to feed you.
Yeah, most likely. And so then, like, it's impossible. I went into Tiny Lou's the other night. I'm trying to eat healthy. 9 courses later and
have
5 desserts, I was like, yeah, have the foie gras torchon, have the crepe cake. I'm like, oh, God. But it is, you have to be intentional about it for sure.
Yeah, my favorite hashtag is have laptop, will travel, because what people may not realize is when I'm traveling in between all of those meals and activities, I'm usually on my computer in a coffee shop or in my hotel room doing work. And so I work on all my trips. As far as keeping healthy, I mean, I enjoy trying different foods of wherever I am. And like here down in Charleston, I'm eating a lot of oysters and fried chicken. however, I do a lot of yoga, and I find my exercises of choice right now are yoga and running, and two things you can pretty much do anywhere without any joining a gym. I mean, I was doing yoga in my hotel room this morning, and also walking a lot. I find when I travel, I try to walk. It's a great way to see cities and also just to walk off the meals. So, but yeah, I also watch how much I eat of things. I mean, I like to try everything, but portion control, I think, is key. And just knowing when you're at your limit and knowing when to go home and sleeping in if you need to. But I do like traveling a lot. So
yeah, we had high ambitions last night of our team going to another after party, and we just made the decision for ourselves that as much as we would love to be there, we kind of hit a wall.
I went home last night. I did not go to Butcher and Bee.
Yeah,
we really wanted to.
I was tired. Yeah. I just couldn't do it.
And we still haven't been to Butcher and Bee, but I told Liza, I was like, we have to save something for next year. Yep. You know, you can't do all of Charleston in one weekend. That's why we keep coming back.
Yeah, there's too much good stuff. And I'm curious too, like, Steve, you're on the board of Charleston Wine and Food. Like, in this festival context, like, how is it that your team, you know, sets up the festival so that it's sustainable for all the chefs, all the vendors to come through? And, you know, it's a lot of work. You're sitting in the sun serving hundreds and hundreds of bites. Like, what is it that you guys do to make sure it's going to be a good experience?
You know, we've done 19 events this weekend. So it's heavy. Lots of people will be sleeping all day tomorrow. Some slept in today. You know, we try to just rotate and have each other's backs, and no one person is doing all 19 events, right? I mean, they're doing 2 or 3. It's such a fun weekend for us. It's seeing all of our friends come into town. It's like, you know, we're showing, hey, look at our little city that we love. So it's a long weekend for sure.
But all the friend hugs get you through.
All the friend hugs are so good. They're so good.
Kind of last question for both of you are, what projects are coming up for you next? You teased the Asheville project, but you can tell us more about that. And then Sherry, whatever trips you might have coming up and any teases you have for hosts next year too.
Well, a couple of my trips have been canceled recently due to the state of the world. I wear a lot of hats, so I'm continuing all in the industry, which I do Wednesdays at 4 o'clock. And I'm excited. I'm having on Nate Mel next in 2 weeks. He's from Felt and Fat in Philadelphia, and he makes amazing ceramics and so for restaurants, tabletop. And I'm excited. I'm having a James Kent coming up soon from Crown Shy, and I'm excited about my lineup. PR-wise, I have a new restaurant opening soon down in the West Village. That's going to be a tasting menu-only restaurant by a chef named Zod Arafay. He's known from doing a lot of restaurants in New Jersey. So I have a lot going on PR-wise. And then, yeah, trips, we'll see. I'm a little on hold right now, but I usually, you know, summer comes around and I don't have big summer plans because I'm usually traveling throughout the year. And I love going to food and wine festivals. I mean, I might go back to Aspen, the classic. I've been there many times. It's one of my favorites. And
that's where we met.
And that's where we met. Exactly. You were on the restaurant trade panel.
Yes.
And then we sat down. We had a really nice interview. And we talked about Ben's Friends. And since June, you've progressed so much.
You've doubled. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Ben's Friends has doubled.
I was so glad I got to meet you there. And I'm so glad to be back here and have this conversation. So it's really cool.
In June, my wife and I are going to on a safari to South Africa. We're checking the bucket list. It's pretty great. It helps that Mickey has hotels in South Africa. Wink, wink.
Good guy to know.
Wink, wink. A lot of things. We have a waterfront restaurant here opening in the fall. Next year, we have a hotel in Asheville, Savannah, and Highlands, North Carolina. So we have three hotels opening next year. This year, other than the fall, we've had no openings. So it's been nice. Everybody, the team has been, you know, it's funny. They were all like, we need a break. And now everybody's getting antsy and like, okay, what? I'm like, I knew it. They always blame dad when they're tired, but it's okay. I think we'll be in 20 cities with Ben's Friends by the end of the summer.
Wow.
I think we're at 14. I think we've got six lined up. Obviously, I think we're all a little concerned about the coronavirus and how that's going to affect things. You know, I know our local CVB is shifting to promoting to drive traffic since people are worried about airplanes. Support your local restaurants because, as was previously mentioned, it's kind of a rule of thumb that every restaurant is two bad months away from going out of business, and that is actually literally true. So, we're all sort of on edge, but I'm an optimist by nature. So, you know, the show must go on, and I believe that we will get through this, and my hope is it won't be as bad as some of the fear-mongering that's going on online, which is really disappointing. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. Take care of each other. That is for sure. Sure.
Thanks for mentioning that. We've been thinking about that a lot, like how we can support our community of, you know, restaurants and bars and, you know, independent sellers. So spend your dollars. Don't be scared to go outside. Restaurant kitchens are, like, legitimately the cleanest places I've ever been.
That was mentioned, and I the amount of sanitizer in our restaurants right now, we probably have more in Charleston than every home collect. If we were already hyper-vigilant, and you can imagine, like, we're talking about it every day now. Wash your hand. We're washing our hands 12, 13, 14, 15 times a shift. So we're being super vigilant in the food service world because, obviously, if an employee in a restaurant contracted it, that would be really rough for our industry. So we're all working really hard to make sure that doesn't happen.
Well, this was just the best way to start our final day.
You guys are the best.
You're the best.
I want you to come to summer camp.
Well, it's a date.
we're
HRN at Indigo Road Summer Camp. You heard it here first.
Coming soon. We've got 4 more hours of amazing coverage here from Charleston. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network on Tour. I'm Hannah Forden, here with Kat Johnson, Sherry Bayer, and the wonderful Steve Palmer. Big thanks to Ben's Friends for supporting our coverage today. We're really excited to keep the conversation going about sustainability and wellness. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This program is powered by Simplecast.
Listeners, we want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Aweli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.